series with Proverbs, and this morning, believe it or not, we're looking at planning. Now, those of you that have the gift of administration, you need to have grace with those who don't. You know, when sometimes we're just, the best we can do is just try to plan and make a plan. I mean, just to get to that point. But Proverbs talks a lot about planning, and some of the reasons are most people spend their energy reacting to the needs in their life. Work, kids, finances, cleaning up the house or whatever. And today we want to talk about working on our lives and not just working in our lives. When we're just working in our lives, the things that are going on, we're always in crisis mode. You're always in crisis mode, responding to needs and wants, and then it leads to forgetfulness and frustration. So we're going to look at what Proverbs has to say about the subject of planning. So we're going to go through this these points one at a time, and believe me, as we're going through, and I was going through this, I mean, a lot of times the stuff that I'm preaching is stuff that applies directly to me, no more so than this morning. Number one, now this would be a one that we would think is natural, but do not plan evil. And it's not always, something's wrong, but planning to do something, where you won't get caught. Sometimes, planning to do something where you won't get caught by your teacher, or something where you're planning not to get caught by your boss, or planning to get caught by your spouse, planning to do things that where you won't get caught. Proverbs 3:29 says, "Do not plan harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you." Proverbs 6:16-18 says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, and feet that are quick to rush into evil." And then Proverbs 24:8 tells us, "Whoever plots evil will be known as a schemer." So, you don't want to be in a situation where, if you have any plans for evil, where you're hoping to not get caught. You know, a lot of people spend time either not planning or planning to do evil. Not planning or planning to do something where they hope to not get caught. And it's so important for us as we look at planning. Even God has plans. In Hebrews, it talks about salvation being a plan that's being worked out. So as we're looking at our life, at your time, your money, your health, your home, your possessions, your children, your relationships, your job, your homes, all these things, God asks us to plan. All right, a big place to start is a plan with prayer. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Jesus, before he starts his public ministry, he goes out and by himself and prays. And of course, through all his ministry as well. But he's spending time in prayer. Spending time in prayer about the plans that God has for him. Time spent planning actually saves time working. You've probably heard this before. Plan smarter instead of harder. Or working smarter instead of harder. Taking time in prayer. Getting alone with time with God and praying with him. And I know that's a little different for each person, right? We talk about Proverbs, talk about principles, not always methods. And for each one of you, it might be, you have a certain time, you have a place, you have an area where you like to be alone with God and to pray. A big one for me is in my car. If I'm getting somewhere early, and just sit in the parking lot, and to pray. It's like, usually people don't just walk up and open your car door and step in, like it might happen at your house or office or whatever. For me, I love just being in my car and praying. But whatever it is for you, you want to be praying, getting alone with Jesus to pray about your plan before you start a relationship, before you take a new job, before you're having children, before you relocate, before you're deciding what you're going to do regarding college or something like that. You want to pray. Start your plan with prayer. It's going to give you clarity of thought, confidence as you move forward. So we plan with prayer. You also plan with counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 20:18 says, plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance. The plans require counselors. Let's say, for example, you're choosing college. You're going to want to go and seek counsel on that, get advice on that. If you're choosing a major in college, you know, you want to seek counsel. If you're starting a relationship, you want to seek counsel. If you're going to buy a home, you seek counsel from others. If you're going to make an investment, you're going to seek counsel. If you're, you know, getting together a budget, or you're going to start a family, or you want to downsize your house or your life, or you're going to start working on your health, you know, all of that and more is going to be benefited when you're seeking counsel from others. The biggest mistakes will come from not seeking counsel. I need counsel all the time, and when I don't seek it, when I don't look for counsel in others, you know, that's when I make my biggest mistakes. And sometimes I get counsel from people when I'm not even looking for it. I mean, they just, you know, you just get it by something that somebody says. They say something wise and apply it to your life. So it begins with prayer. It moves forward with counsel. And once you have your plan, you have to work your plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. So the first thing he says is you can't be hasty. And sometimes we are, right? We're hasty in relationships. We're hasty in decisions. We're hasty in investments. We're hasty in purchases. We're hasty in friendships. And you end up really paying for that. The best thing to do is you get counsel and then stick to it. It's great to have a budget. You can have a world-class budget. But if you don't stick to it, it doesn't do any good. You can have a great diet and exercise plan, but if you don't stick to it, then you wind up in trouble. Or you have an exercise program, and before you know it, your treadmill or your exercise bike turns into, you know, a coat rack. Just things just sit there and hang on it. If you're going to start an investment, like with a retirement plan, well, then keep investing in it. If you're going to start a ministry, try and see that through to fruition. The point here is here to try to be people who finish what we start. We want to make a plan and then continue forward in it. And that's really important, because a lot of people will try something, and then if it doesn't work, you try something else, and you just try something else, and you try something else. You want to stick with what you're doing and not give up just before you're about to have that breakthrough. I don't know if you've seen those illustrations, a cartoon where you got the guy digging through the tunnel, and he's like 1 foot away from his goal, and turns up and turns back. You never know how close it is to getting to your goal unless you stick with your plan. And although you do want to stick to your plan, you need to be willing and able, if necessary, to alter your plan. Right? Some get so committed that when it's not working, they're unwilling to make adjustments. But Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Well, he says that you can pray, and you can seek counsel, and you can make a plan and start to put your life together, particularly in a certain area of life, and God may come along and change things dramatically, take you in a completely different direction that you didn't see coming. 20 years ago, I had a plan mapped out. It involved by about the age of 30, becoming a creative director for an advertising firm in Ann Arbor. I was going to start in Lansing and work my way up and get transferred to an advertising firm in Ann Arbor, and then I was going to be a creative director in one of the larger advertising firms. Well, you know what? Plans change. I mean, how often has a plan been changed by a pregnancy, an unexpected layoff? Things change, and it's the purpose of the Lord that stands. You walk in a certain direction that God has for you until all of a sudden you hear, you know, from your GPS, your God planning system, rerouting, you know, recalculating, you know, your God plan system, your spouse gets sick, your health goes bad, one of your children is born with a disability, there's a rough season in life, you get unemployed, things happen, and you have to alter the plan as you go. Now, to say that, some of you might get discouraged and say, well, you need to throw your hands up. Why? Why even plan, you know, if I have to keep changing it? Well, if you don't have any plan, your life's going to be in total flux and constant chaos. If you have a plan, you can make adjustments to it. It's far more effective than having no plan at all. Now, I want to say a bunch of things that are practically about planning. I need to say at this point, I am not a top-notch planner. Amy is. I have learned a lot in this area from being married to Amy. I've also learned that just from some reading, planners don't usually marry planners. They can be effective, but it is a lot of tension filled. But I have learned a lot. It's also very funny. I probably shouldn't bring this up. I'm gonna hurt some feelings here. But as I was talking to people last couple days, and I was getting texts this morning, because I was thinking about, I know Amy was gonna be sitting here listening, and I was thinking about some other people sitting here listening. And all of a sudden, one by one, they're not here. Sarah, I was thinking about Sarah Oakley when I was writing through this and her planning ability, and Alex was getting sick, and some other planners, like Linda Schnapperock, and then Deanne Swears, and I think about Tanya Dupuy, and Andy Cox, and all these people that are really good at planning, and all of a sudden, they're not here. All I can figure is, if you're sitting here today, maybe you need some help with planning, like I do. I'm just by power of elimination, that seems to be how it's working out. I don't want to make any generalizations, but I have learned a lot from being married to Amy. The first thing I've learned, and one of the things I've learned, is that you need to write your plan down. I mean, you don't have to type it up, but you have to have it recorded. And some of you might have plans, and they're in your head. And it's really hard to modify those. And if you're married, it's really hard to share those with other people. I got this early on. Amy was a varsity basketball coach over in Fowlerville, and we'd make our practice plan together. And she would have it every minute practice, you know, planned out. And I just thought that's how you did it. I learned that from her. And so I do basketball plan, and I'd mark it out for every minute. And like last year or so, I was coaching with Donald Osterley. It's like, what do you have? Well, I've got my typed out practice plan. That's what you do, right? Donald didn't have one of those. But there's so many other plans. There's so many other lists that writing things down. You're having a grocery list. What you're spending. You know, we're on this virtual envelope system. Or, you know, gifts that maybe you want to buy for other people. So you plan so that you can buy things, you know, on sale and not just the week before Christmas, or prayer requests. And just having them all together. All of Amy's lists are all together, like on our phone or iPad. And our kids are learning this. They know it. They know how to go and pick up the iPad or the phone and find the list. Sam was walking through the house the other day. He had Amy's phone. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I was just adding some things to my Christmas list. I'm like, how do you even know? You know, but they know, you know, how to make lists and how to write things down so that, you know, you don't forget. And then, of course, there's just, you know, having a to-do list where you write things down and then you cross them off. And I don't know, maybe this is how you can tell if you are a good planner. If you get really excited, and I saw you get really excited about crossing something off the list, that's probably a good sign in the planning department. It's got kind of like, you know, a little accomplishment. Or if you're on a diet, like you just lost a pound every time I cross something off. It's just an exciting thing. But you want your planning also to be relatively simple. Amy used to have this, and she said I was going to be in trouble if I made fun of this, but I'm going to. It's the Franklin Planner, and that was before technology came out. Okay, Andrew, shaking your head again. Good. All right, you can be support partners here. But Franklin Planner, but it would have like 57 tabs, you know, for all the different areas of your life. And she tried so hard to get me to. She bought me a mini Franklin Planner. And thought, this will help this person that I'm going to be spending my life with. And it was just too complicated, and I couldn't do it. It was too many tabs. The only thing I wrote down in there is that, you know, by the age of 30, I was going to be creative director in Ann Arbor. So it didn't really work out that great. But it is important to have things written down in a way that's going to be not too complicated for you. Number two, when you make a plan, you have to consider the downside. Some of you are eternal optimists, and you don't think there is a downside, you know. But, you know, what happens, you know, if you do buy that home? What's the downside? If you do make that investment, what's the downside? If you do decide to start this relationship or, you know, you make this decision, what's the downside going to be? Number three, you always include fun and margin for error in your plans. Particularly when it comes to your life. I mean, there's a reason it's called recreation. You know, where you recreate yourself, where you re-energize yourself. You have to stop to sharpen the axe. You can't just keep chopping and never stop to sharpen the axe and to be refreshed. Something else to consider when planning. And this is an important one. Number four, accept the size of your plate. Now, what does that mean? Some of you are big plate people. You are. You can handle a lot. And people look at you and they say, I don't know how you do it. You're some kind of freak. I don't know how you get all this done. I don't know how you do it. Others are teacup saucer, you know, plate size. You know, I was going to do these two things, but that was one too many. And that's okay. It's just important to know what size your plate is. You know, we're all different. Accept the size of your plate, keep it full, but if you're going to put something else on your plate, you got to take something off. If you're in one organization, you want to volunteer in another organization, you're probably going to have to choose between the two. Or if you're going to commit yourself to serving one particular ministry, something else might have to come off your plate. Decide you're going to have another child, and praise God, children are such a blessing, but something might have to come off on the plate. And the problem is that people generally, whatever size the plate is, have a full plate. And then they start putting more things on the plate. And things start falling off. And that's when you're late and you get overcommitted financially. And you get burned out. And you don't have any margin because the plate is totally full. And just keep stacking stuff on top of it. Other things you could talk about, I'm just going to breeze through. Use technology, but don't let it be your God. I mean, it's so important, you know, there's so many iPhones and iPads and whatever. Oh, I got to tell this one. Well, this ties into the Tigers. Anybody watch the Tigers last night? All right, last year, we were going to a Tigers game. I'm going to get in trouble. We're going to a Tigers game. We're talking about technology in the car. We're with Amy and her parents, and we're talking about, oh, you know, the iPhone and the iPad and the new technology coming out. And one of our boys, I don't know if it's Caleb, Andrew, he looks at me and goes, I'm not trying to make fun. He says, that guy there, he has an iPad. And Amy goes, ooh, what's that? Like, that was a new technology she ever heard about, the iPad. Of course, it was just somebody that didn't see out of one eye. But if there was a technology piece she was missing out of in the eye category, she wanted to know about that. Of course, I better just keep talking because I'm not going to get out of here in a good state. But the important thing is that it doesn't become your God. You don't become ruled by it. You don't pay so much attention to your phone that you neglect your family or your children. And that sort of thing. You make sure you sync up your plan with your family. Amy and I do this most nights. We talk about our days. We talk about our days in review. And then we also preview what's coming up. You know, what do we have going on tomorrow? What do the kids need to get to? What errands need to be run? Does something need to, you know, get done around the house? Amy actually has a schedule on our fridge for the week for every person in the family. You gotta get closer if you want to elbow her. For every person in the family, you know, written out. And so you know, and the helpful thing is to know what everybody is doing and what's going on in your kid's life, what's going on in your spouse's life. Because then you can be attentive to them. You know, how did that meeting go? How did this go? You know, how did that go? Otherwise, you just end up living parallel, separate lives. Sometimes the problems we have in marriages where there's no communication, or, well, you're not attentive to me, or you're not serving me, because there's no plan communicated between the partners, and they don't know what's going on in others' lives. And so there's this frustration because of these unspoken expectations, and people can feel unloved. And Amy really helps keep us going in that regard. She actually really tried to sync us up. She tried to do this thing, sending me these Google invites to events, but I had no idea how to transfer that and make that go onto a calendar. And maybe you figured this out by now, but Amy should actually be giving this sermon, not me, but I'm almost done, so I'm going to continue. Last point, I don't know what you would call it, a life coach, a mentor, at least somebody to talk to who's really organized. Me, I have Amy. We established that. But there's a lot of other really good planners in this church, and you can talk to one of them. You know what? I don't know how to find a job. I don't know how to get out of debt. My health is a wreck right now. And you might just need a coach or somebody who can help you and hold you accountable and get a plan and a system enacted and established. So, I mean, there's so many things for us to make plans for. Just shout out some things you think of that we can make a plan for. What's something you need to make plans for?
College.
Yep. You have a plan for that.
Holiday dinners.
Oh, holiday dinners. Right. You don't want to all bring in salad. or desserts, which I noticed I did again for the. I told you to bring desserts on the baby shower. I'm going to spell that wrong forever. Anything else make a plan for?
Retirement.
Plan for retirement. Yeah, very good. What else? That's it. All right, we're done. All right, well, as long as you've got holiday dinners, retirement, and college, those are the three biggies. So, all right. But another thing we need to think about is, what are the top three in your life, time, emotion, and energy wasters, do you need to drop right now? And this could be deal with a person. It could deal with things. It could be fantasy football. You know, something that just takes too much time, energy, emotion, money, and it needs to be weeded out so some of these other things can grow. And also, what is an obstacle that's keeping you from living by your convictions? Is it clutter? Is it disorganization? I know with us, with our three boys, clothing can really be an issue. For the last 9 years, every 15 minutes or so, somebody has outgrown something. And so, you know, I had to have a system. So Amy has a system when somebody outgrows something. The big friend of people who are organized are bins and labels, right? And if you got a label maker, then woo, all right? But, you know, just have a system where, well, this, you know, these clothes go into a bin until the next person comes along and get a label or, you know, with your little label maker or writing it out yourself, and we'll have bins that say things like 5-year-old clothes. And then when Sam comes along and he turns 5, then great, and you got your whole wardrobe. And that alone has saved us so much money. Of course, now the older boys are taking my stuff and wearing my shoes, and there's really no way to plan for having a 12-year-old that wears size 15s. And so that busted that plan. But it worked real well for a while. So you need to make plans or have systems. On your sheet, or I'll have them up here, just moving into the five for the drive. And I know some of you are really excited, right? I can tell Ann, she's on board with all this, and it's got two steps farther than everything that I said. You know, because you understand, you're these people with administration. You've got the label maker, and you've got the backup in case that one breaks, and you're that organized. And some of you are like, label maker, I walked here this morning because I couldn't find my keys. I'm not off in the label maker stage yet. But here's the question, no matter where you are, fall on the spectrum. And if you're a planner in the car, in the family, you can help the others out. One, what emotions does the word planning cause you to have? Some of you got excited when you heard it, some of you are like, what, really? But two, as a general rule, how are you planning and working your plan? And be honest, say, well, you know what, I'm pretty good at this, or, you know, this is an area I struggle with. Number three, where is your planning weakest, and why? Well, I'm pretty good at finances, but, you know, I'm always late. Or I'm good at planning for work, but spiritually, with planning for Bible study and ministry and every time to pray, well, I need help there. So where is your planning weakest? Where is your planning strongest, and why? And what can you do to plan better? You know, I need a plan for my health. I need a plan for my soul. I need a plan for my finances. I need a plan for my budget. It's out of control. I need a plan for my schedule. I don't even know where I'm going or what I'm doing. I need a plan for my children. You know, what are we doing in terms of school or paying for their dental work or what we're going through as a family right now? What kind of house or car are we going to need? You know, we talked about principles. Proverbs gives you principles. But now we need to apply it to your life. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll finish with a song. But, you know, I hope we can discuss these things on the way home and give each other wise counsel. And remember, we pray for your plan. That's what Scripture tells us to do. Seek counsel for your plan. That's what the Bible tells us to do. You work your plan. And then you change your plan as God redirects your steps. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words in Proverbs. Thank you as you directed Solomon and others to give these wise principles for planning. God, we don't want to plan to take control, to think that we're in charge, to think that we are the one on the throne and not you. God, we just want to plan to be good stewards of the things that you have given us, time, possessions, relationships. God, we want to live out in the way that you would have us to live. And as we look at all these different areas of finances and college and retirement and our health and budgeting and goals that we have in work and school, God, help us to be wise in planning. I just ask you to give each one of us wisdom as we apply these principles to our life. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.